الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, tonight we completed Surah Al-A'raf and we commenced Surah Al-Anfal. Throughout last night, we heard about the different Anbiya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent to the nations of the past. And each of these Anbiya came with the same unified message. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. That believe and worship in one Allah and do not associate any partners with Him. And the reaction of each of their nations was the same. فَكَذَّبُوهُ. That they rejected them, they denied them, except a handful of believers who believed in those Anbiya, who assisted them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala annihilated those nations totally, obliterated them completely from the face of the earth, with the exception of those few who believed in their Nabi and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved. And the extent of this annihilation was such that in some instances, even the family members of those Anbiya were not spared. Nuh alayhi salam's son was destroyed. Lut alayhi salam's wife was destroyed. And we find the different Anbiya that came to the different nations. Salih alayhi salam, who came to the Thamud. Hud alayhi salam, who came to the people of Aad. Lut alayhi salam, who came to his people. And Shu'aib alayhi salam, who came to the people of Madian. And in tonight's Taraweeh, we heard about the story of Musa alayhi salam, who came to the people of Fir'aun. And the different trials and tribulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed upon the people of Fir'aun. And how every time that different trial or tribulation came upon them, they said to Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, make dua to your Rabb to remove this difficulty from us, and we will believe in you, and we will let the Bani Israel go along with you. And there were different successive punishments. First a famine came to them. Then there were storms and floods that came and flooded the entire homes. Musa alayhi salam made dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed that. So much so that after the floods came to them, they experienced a great amount of prosperity. And when they experienced this prosperity, once again, they began to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they broke the promise that they made with Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent to them locusts, and He sent to them lice, and He sent to them frogs that covered their entire homes. And He turned all of their liquids into blood. The water that they would drink, the water from the wells, whatever they would have there would turn into blood before they were able to drink it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent plagues upon them, wherein more than 70,000 people are reported to have passed away. Each time the people came to Musa alayhi salam and asked him to make dua for them. And each time when that difficulty was removed, these people disbelieved and they broke the promise with Musa alayhi salam. Until finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala annihilated the nation of Fir'aun by drowning them in the sea when they were pursuing pursuing the Bani Israel. So in summary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَبِيٍ. That whenever we send a nation, إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. That we always send a Nabi to the nation, and along with that we send to them different trials, hunger, poverty, difficulties, so that we may be able to test and see whether these people will turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after committing sins. And when these people do not turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite these calamities and these reminders coming to them, and we need to draw parallels to our lives today, that many times we find different calamities befalling us, be it a reduction in our wealth, be it a reduction in our health, in our children, some sort of musibah or calamity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. But it comes to us and it should be a reminder for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we do not take heed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ بَدَّلْنَا مَكَانَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ حَتَّى عَفَوْا. That we change the condition to a condition of prosperity. In another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. that when the people forget the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they become disobedient to Allah, then we open the floodgates of all types of bounties and mercies to them. This is a test to see whether these people will turn to us as grateful servants. That after seeing these ni'mats that Allah has blessed them with, despite the fact that they were being disobedient to Allah, are these people turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance? And again, we draw parallels to our lives, that alhamdulillah, mashallah, in our communities, how much of ni'mats and bounties we enjoy. If we look at our homes, if we look at our dastarkhans at the time of iftar, there are so many different types of bounties. And each of us have to ask, that are we grateful for these bounties? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testing us, and are we passing or are we failing the test? And alhamdulillah, it's so easy. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say that a person can become a wali in a matter of seconds. That is, he changes his life immediately and he makes sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in a matter of seconds, irrespective of his condition, he becomes a wali of Allah. So we look at the wealth that we have, and perhaps it is taking us away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we make that intention today that, oh Allah, for all these years, this wealth and this ni'mat that you have given me, it took me away from your remembrance. But today I change that intention that it will now only bring me closer to your remembrance. Insha'Allah, we will be from amongst those who pass that test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that after we give them that wealth and that respite, if they still do not turn towards us, then فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, that we seize them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seized the nations of the past, may He protect us. We find that in the ayat thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an ingredient for barakah. And we find that He mentions to us, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقُوا, that if we bring iman and we have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will open the doors and the floodgates of barakah for us. So there is an apparent contradiction here, that on the one hand, when there is an increase in wealth and blessings and ni'mah, then we find that it perhaps is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, we find that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to us that if we bring iman and taqwa, He will also give us an increase in bounties and wealth. So there are two responses to this from the Mufassirin. The first response is that barakah can come in two forms. Firstly, it can be in an increase in quantity. So physically, as we found in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that a small bowl of milk sufficed for so many people, or a small pot of food sufficed for so many people. But more importantly, barakah comes in the efficacy of things. How well are we able to use certain things? That is, we may eat one morsel of food or a few morsels of food, but the ruhani strength that we get because of the barakah in that food means that we can do so much with it. And the second response that the ulama have written is that if we have wealth, the guideline and the criteria to identify, is this an adab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or is it a ni'mat, is that does this wealth bring me closer to the remembrance of Allah or does it take me further away from the remembrance of Allah? MashaAllah, if this wealth is bringing me closer to the obedience of Allah, then it is a ni'mat from Allah. But if that wealth is used to increase in sin and to take me away from the remembrance of Allah, then that wealth is an adab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we found that there were two ingredients to get barakah. First was taqwa, and the second was iman. Alhamdulillah, we have heard a lot about taqwa. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Fasting has been prescribed upon you so that you may obtain taqwa. But what about iman? We find that in Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a beautiful verse. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Five qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to true mu'mineen, with regards to true believers. Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi was asked once that, are you a believer? And he responded that, you know, there are two types of believers. The first is the believer who believes in Allah, His messengers, the kitabs that He has sent down, His angels, and the day of Qiyamah. So if you ask if I am a believer of that type, then yes, alhamdulillah, I believe in those things. But if you are asking about the second type of believer, that believer that is mentioned in the ayah in Surah Al-Anfal that I have just mentioned, then I am not sure whether I am from amongst those or not. Only Allah knows. So the qualities of these believers, the true believers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا, that these are true believers. The first quality is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned to them, then وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts become filled with the awe and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do they have that fear, or how do they display that fear? That is, when they are inclined to commit any sin, then the remembrance of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the awe of the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds them back from committing that sin. The second quality, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا, when they hear our verses, when they hear the Quran being recited to them, whether they understand it or they don't understand it, that Quran increases them in their, increases their iman. That Quran increases their iman. The ulama are unanimous on the fact that iman can increase. It can increase in its strength, in its light, in its nur, in its effulgence. And one of the alamat, one of the signs that the iman is increasing, is that we have a desire to do good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that from us. The third quality is that they have tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have trust, full trust and yaqeen upon the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt we live in a world of means. This is Darul Asbab. We have to adopt the means. A person wishes to earn a living, he should go out every day to earn his living. But he should not be going out 7 days a week, in such a manner that he is ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that salahs continue to be missed, that he does his transactions in a way that is not compatible with the sharia. But he does it in such a way that everything is done according to the Quran and Sunnah. So he adopts the means, and thereafter he places his trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes in a hadith, أَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبْ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ, that adopt the means moderately, but place your trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go out and work, but the amount of risk, the manner in which we receive that risk and how far it will go, that is upon the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth quality, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, those are people who establish salah. And the meaning of iqamatu salah is not just that we perform salah 5 times a day, but iqamatu salah is that we perform salah with its correct etiquettes, with its correct adab, that we understand the laws of salah. How sad it is that many of us, 50 years, 60 years, we're performing salah, but because some of our arkan are completely incorrect, that salah is deficient. So these are people who are concerned about making sure that that salah, from the time we make our tahara, our ghusl and our wudu, that salah is done in the best possible way. And the last quality, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, that whatever wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with, they spend it in the path of Allah. Whether it is in sadaqat, whether it is in khairat, whatever the case might be, they spend upon themselves, upon their family members, upon those who are poor, destitute, their neighbors, all of the different avenues that Allah has enjoined upon us. They spend, and these are the people, these are the 5 qualities. What is the reward for these people? لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, they will have high, lofty ranks by their Lord. And they will have the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ, and a noble provision. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who have true iman in Him. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَ عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.